Jason Ake is with us. Jason has been a long-time broadcaster. You'll recall he was appointed to the Radio New Zealand board. He was on the panel that was looking at the potential merger of TVNZ and RNZ, and he has a long career in the broadcasting sector. He's kindly with us from Tainui. Thank you for your time, Jason. Tēnā koe.
Oh, kia ora, Dale. Uchi rā, tēnā rā tātou katoa.
Ngā mihi hea. Kia ora rā wātu koe. TV3 and the 6pm news has been saved seemingly by staff. News Hub closes in early July. Warner Brothers Discovery says it's signed a deal with staff to produce and provide us with a 6pm bulletin on 3. Is it a win for journalism or just a band-aid, do you think, Jason?
I think it's a band-aid, to be quite honest, Dale. A couple of issues that have emerged out of those talks, I think, for me, it's that whole commercial aspect that sits behind a newsroom that helps facilitate, I would say, the production of news. I think News Hub, and I lament the loss of News Hub, to be honest. In the past, they've produced a whole range of Māori reporters on both in front of the screen and also behind. So we mustn't forget those that are losing their jobs at News Hub are also the cameramen, the soundies, and the camera people, soundies and a whole bunch of other people. And is it going to increase the quality, my concern, Dale, of Māori news on the newly revamped stuff collaboration with News Hub-y type of thing? And I don't know, and that's a problem.
I sense what you're saying too. There is a commercial driver here. Ratings are what they're chasing, and of course that can affect the quality of the news that they are delivering. You were involved in the initial discussions, ultimately canned though, the suggested merging of TVNZ RNZ. Did we miss an opportunity then? And it's playing out in this way now.
We missed a massive opportunity then to allow, that was at TVNZ and RNZ. But let me just step back on the News Hub stuff sort of collaboration. When you have a look at stuff, they've got an arsenal of around 400 reporters that sit dotted around the country. So it does make some sense in a sense. But as I have often waxed lyrical about their commitment to Māori journalism, I'm talking about stuff here, it's been fairly non-existent. And I would like, myself, like to see a bit of commitment from stuff and how they populate that newsroom with a Māori voice or with somebody who can reflect accurately the Māori voice heading forward. The other question in front of, I think, that we need to be asking ourselves, Dale, is how many real-speaking Māori journalists have been made redundant from those organisations? How many? Well, I would say minimal. And once again, that's a problem because it reflects the commitment that all of those organisations have had toward providing an accurate sort of voice for Māori inside those really, really influential platforms. And we need to sit back and have a think about that as a country, to be honest.
I, for a long time, have been very supportive of Māori media, and although we've been going 30-odd years, 40 perhaps, you can still sense that it's relatively in its infancy, Māori broadcasting, and we want more Māori journalists to come through. It doesn't seem to be an area that our young people are drawn to, Jake. What are the challenges here that Māori media are facing?
Yeah, well, let's just unpick that, because what we do know is that the Tirito, the Tirito program, which was a program that came about as a result of the PIJF funding, that loses funding this year. And it was specifically designed to populate newsrooms around the country with both a more diverse set of new reporters coming through. And that was both from a Pacifica, a Māori, and a bunch of others. Now, it dies this year. So I'd like to see a lot more commitment in respect of the Te Rito program. I'd also like to see the funding commitments that we set aside when I was chair of the Māori Media Sector Shift Panel being upheld and filtered back into Māori broadcasting, because we still do not have equity or parity in terms of simple things like pay rates, for example, for our new workforce coming forward. So those are some of the issues, I think, that require quite a bit of work, Dale.
Well, they are heady times that we are working through. Pleasing to see that some will retain their jobs, but there's still a bunch of people, as you say, camera staff, editors, sounds technicians, that are going to be down the road. And, well, we take no pleasure in the demise of mahi, and this is happening right across the public sector. I'll be talking shortly, too, with Janice Bunnell about the hundreds of jobs that are being lost. And, of course, the PIJF that Jason was referring to is the Public Interest Journalism Fund, seemingly doing some good work and now being axed.
Yeah. Well, I think the final issue for me, Dale, is that we've got a minister at the moment who's been effectively gagged by the Prime Minister and how she operates in this space. Some of the comments from her in recent days, over the last week and a half, even 2 weeks, have been quite frankly diabolical. And I support absolutely the former Minister, Willie Jackson, in his characterisation of her and her inability, number one, to offer a way forward for reporters who are, well, not just reporters, but for organisations. The Fourth Estate, Dale, is a really, really important part of democracy. And it seems that the current minister is unable or unwilling to reconcile her own personal views ahead of what should be a much more focused look at how journalism, for example, is able to hold both our power brokers and not just on a national but even on a regional and local level to account. Because I've got to say, really, really not just disappointed with the current Minister of Broadcasting, but flummoxed.
Flummoxed, Mr. Ake. Well, yes. All the best to you. Good talking with you again, Jason. Thanks so much, man.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Ngā mihi. Kia koe, Jason Ake.